Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Lord, at this point of the service, Lord. And Father, we approach it with all reverence, dear God, asking, Lord, for you to direct us, Lord, in what you've laid on my heart this morning. Lord, that it would speak to us today, dear God. We remember, dear God, in this time of the year, what's the true meaning of what we're supposed to be looking at and thinking on, having our minds on. We ask, dear God, that you would bless your people now, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 10. I just want to read one verse of scripture this morning, verse 10, John 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You may be seated. Now, as you know, every year I wait on the Lord to see what to bring for a Christmas message. And quite often we bring something that has some theme of Christmas about it, and I was going back over some of the messages I've preached in years past, and Brother Gene mentioned to me out in the hall about a message I preached some years ago, and it just kind of struck me, I guess if people remember some of these things, maybe what was their favorites or something. And he mentioned about when I preached on Scrooge, and I looked it up, and that was 11 years ago. So you got quite a memory there, Brother Gene. And that's been 11 years ago. But I don't do this without reverence, or I don't do these to make anything light or irreverent or anything of that nature. But sometimes little thoughts come to me, and then they just stay on me, and I just keep thinking on them, and then something opens up. And so I was thinking on this Christmas season, and I was thinking on, as I said, Christmas season's past and Christmases that we've had, and how things are around the Christmas time. And how that people are, and the things that we see that are supposedly common to this time of the year, and I kept thinking about the true meaning of Christmas being lost, and I began to think on that, and then I thought of this scripture. That the enemy comes to steal, the thief comes to steal. And so I thought of how the Grinch stole Christmas. And in the story, you know, what the Grinch does is he can't stand Christmas, so he comes down to the little village, and he begins to take everything that to him represents Christmas to the people. And he steals all their decorations, their trees, their presents, their food. He steals all these things, and he thinks that if he does all this, that his plan is he can stop Christmas from coming. And so I thought of how that the enemy today tries to steal Christmas. And the way he does it is not in a way of taking everything, but taking away the true meaning of Christmas. And the way he does that is by giving other things to try to represent them as being part of Christmas so that the people will focus on those things and make that to be Christmas. And so they make Santa Claus and shopping and gifts and commercialism and all these different things, and they make that to represent Christmas in their minds, to where it gets them away from the true meaning, was the birth of Christ. Now, I know that as we're taught that lambs aren't born in the winter, Brother Branham said he must have been born in April. However, this is the time of the year that the world brings forth about Christmas and the birth of Christ, and so we observe it as the birth of Christ. And that's what the real meaning is about us. But for the children, Satan replaces Christ with Santa Claus. And, you know, some myth of a man who flies around the world and delivers presents to good boys and girls. Someone who knows who's good and who's bad, and somebody who knows if you're awake or sleeping, and if, you know, all these things, knows all about you, you know. And what they've done is they replaced Jesus from the manger, they replaced him with Santa Claus. And I looked it up, and every country around the world has some form of Santa Claus. Now, we know that not every country necessarily celebrates Christmas like the Christians' ideal of Christmas is. But every country does celebrate this time of the year based on one thing or other from their history, and every one of them has some form of a man who goes around doing good and delivering good things to people. And they've also, in some countries, they actually have a good representation of like a Santa Claus, and then a bad representation of a person there, or a thing like a goat that comes and takes away bad children and things. And but he's got, I read this, I want to read it to you. Said he's got a different name in practically every country he visits, but no matter what Santa Claus goes by, his arrival is eagerly anticipated by children all over the world. And although the depictions and deeds of Santa differ from country to country, some parts of the story stay the same. He's a kindly old man who brings toys and presents or money to good children everywhere. Now, I was reading, and this might surprise you, where our the American picture of what Santa Claus is came from early advertisements of Coca-Cola. And that's where they got their imagery of what Santa Claus, and what you see them, the imagery they put up of Santa Claus today, it come from early Coca-Cola advertisements. Then, for adults, he gives them parties. It's parties in the place of remembering the birth of Christ. It becomes about celebrating. And in their celebration, I'm not talking about just like little Christmas parties like what they had here yesterday for the children. Yes, Jeffrey. Now, I'm talking about it's worldly parties, which has to do with they seem like at these parties, a lot of them, they got to have a Santa Claus there. And then they have all kinds of lewdness and drinking and all these other things that go on. And they have work Christmas parties and Christmas parties with friends and Christmas parties with families and Christmas parties here and there, and they're all over the place, and partying goes on from Christmas through New Year's. And it's all about a big drunken to-do. And it's about buying. Buying. Shopping. And I've read this. It said that Christmas shopping is one of the biggest holidays, with shoppers spending over $1 trillion in the United States. Now, it just ain't in the United States. In the United Kingdom, they spend 2 billion pounds on Christmas. They did a percentage
of men versus women shopping for Christmas time, and it comes out the men usually spend on average more than the women do. And it's an average of $725 for men and an average of $609 for women, so there's a little difference there. They say Generation Xers account for the highest spending with the average of $782 in the U.S. An average of $782 a year per Christmas. The millennials spend the second most on holidays with the average of $609. The lowest spending amount is with the baby boomers, who spend an average of $576. Another thing that happens in the holidays, Satan, thanks to his introduction of parties and the going-ons and everything, is DUIs increase. And with the increase of DUIs, there's an increase in deaths related to drinking and driving. And they said in the days surrounding Christmas, more than 300 people will die in drunken accidents across the U.S. There are more motor vehicle-related deaths during this time, and because the number of drivers over the legal limit is greater than the yearly average. All this is an attempt by the old Grinch Satan to stop Christmas from coming. So he disguises it to come a different way. But in the story of the Grinch, everything he did to stop Christmas from coming, it came anyway. Because it was something in the hearts of the people. And that's the way it is with Christian people. Satan tries to substitute all these other things to prevent the true meaning of Christmas from coming, but to the believer, it comes anyway. I want to read you some things that Brother Branham said in the message concerning some of these different things. Pardon me. In this Christmas times, when people are shopping and dancing and drinking and celebrating, something they know nothing about, like they was celebrating Washington or Lincoln's birthday or not worshiping, they still got God in a manger. When God's not in a manger, he's raised from the dead and alive forevermore, living among us, proving himself as the same God that the Nicene fathers carried down through the ages has come since the day of Pentecost. The same God that met Paul on the road to Damascus. He was a missionary to the Gentile, a messenger from God to the Gentiles. The Gentiles' message started by a visitation of the pillar of fire, and it ends the same way. And so as we would see Jesus, he said, the people shopping, there's a big commercial going on. It's another Christmas, just a bogus makeup. And presuming, he says, a few weeks ago when my wife and I were shopping in the shopping center in our little village at home, we overheard a conversation of two girls talking. And one of them said, well, what did you get mother for Christmas? She said, I couldn't think of anything else to get her, but what she enjoyed most was a carton of cigarettes, so that's what I got her. And said, I got dad a quart of whiskey. And then the other ones replied back, so I'm glad you did that because I got him a bunch of poker chips. So Brother Branham was saying, now remember, he was out shopping. And I'll get to that in a minute. But he overheard these ones talking about what they were buying at Christmas time. And presuming, he said, you see, that's Christmas. How can the world stand much longer, a celebration? And then I suppose they presume that that's the right way to do it. That's what they're supposed to be doing. And here comes New Year's around, and after New Year's gets around, why, usually the people are all great New Year's party, and then the New Year's party, and all them get a great big drunk around midnight, and I suppose they put to death their sins to forget all about them, what they've done in the year, and just get so drunk that they forget all about their sins. I guess they presume that's the way you get rid of sins, but they're wrong. That only makes more sin. You can't right anything by doing another wrong, so it's just presuming, drowning out. Now, you know, I never bring something without making sure I got a balance somewhere, and I didn't want to be misunderstood in this thought that I had today. And so I was just praying and asking the Lord to help me to find different things. And I came across this in Remembering the Lord, preached in 1962. And Brother Branham said, now, next Sunday morning, if the Lord's willing, I thought I would bring my Christmas message to the people. Now, he's saying this on December the 9th, which would mean the next Sunday would be December the 16th. And he says, I'd bring my Christmas message to people because letting them, some of them, come from far away, you know, like Georgia and different places. And that'll let them get back in time to do their Christmas shopping and things. So Brother Branham always had a balance in everything. So it's not, when we're talking about this shopping and that, we're talking about the commercialism that goes on in the world today. Jessica used to work for Macy's. And, you know, any of these department stores, they have a meeting in the morning to start out the day. And in the morning meeting, they would tell their workers, plastic makes it possible. Meaning you can get people to charge. Offer them to get a Macy's charge account. And get them to buy, you know. And have you ever thought of the day after Thanksgiving, they call it Black Friday. It's because they've got it fixed in the people's minds that they'll get the best deals on that day. And so people go out and they spend. And not only that, but they're crazy. They'll wait in line all night long to get into a store and then fight one another over some of the merchandise. That's what we're talking about with the shopping. This craze, commercialism. It's Christmas. It's nothing. There's nothing wrong with giving gifts to your children and things like that, but let's not make it about that. Let's do things to teach the children the right things about Christmas. Brother Branham goes on in this message, Remembering the Lord, and he said, Billy just come to me and told me Sister Dolores next Sunday evening, just before the service, has some little gifts for the kids and a little program here. They're going to, you know, a little Christmas play that they want to put on before the service starts. So there's always a balance in these things. And I like that our programs that we do for our children is reflecting to them about the birth of Jesus Christ. In the Acts of the Holy Spirit, Brother Ram says, now we're approaching Christmas time, and there are things are all decorated up with Santa Claus instead of Jesus. Now, did you catch the way he said that? Let me read it to you again. Now, as we approach Christmas time, here are things all decorated up with Santa Claus instead of Jesus. So he wasn't talking about that decorating is a bad thing, but he's saying they're doing it, decorating of Santa Claus instead of Jesus. They don't spell it out anymore. They XMAS. They don't even spell Christ in Christmas anymore. Why, the people never even think about the birth anything of Christ. What it's really for, only thing they think about is Santa Claus took its place. And instead of rejoicing under the Spirit of God, they go out and get drunk and rejoice. the great shining light, preaching 57. So as we, this time of year, as we focus our thinking toward Christmas, it's too bad that we got a lot of myth called Santa Claus instead of the real Christmas that it's supposed to be. Many children in the land today knowing no more about Christmas means than a sleigh full of toys and some mystical reindeer pouncing on the house, to only learn later this myth to even hurt their faith when it comes to know that the true Christmas story that had nothing to do with reindeers or a man smoking a pipe or with fur around his coat. It was the birth of our blessed Lord Jesus. It's most unusual to see how God worked in this manner, because no other time we've ever worked in all the history of the world had it been, it had to be just exactly at this time. Where is he, King of the Jews, preached on December the 21st, 1958? It's Christmas. All the tinsel up and down the street of Santa Claus, a German fiction, a Catholic dogma, that there's not one ounce of truth in it. It takes the place of Jesus Christ in the hearts of too many Americans. Christmas don't mean Santa Claus. Christmas means Christ. It's not some man with a pipe in his mouth coming down a chimney. Teaching your children such as that, what do you expect them to grow up to be? Tell them the truth, not some fictitious story. Tell them there's a God in heaven who sent his son, and that's what Christmas means. And he's near coming again. As the pressure begins to come on this earth, the devil has put out his things by eyes of what you can see, the tinsel and so forth, but God's put out his, which is a spirit that you can't see, but you believe. This was preached on December the 19th, 1954, Divine Healing. He says, I know everybody's singing songs about a white Christmas and praying for the same. We may have it, looks like. This keeps up. We may have the white Christmas. Christmas is a time of year. I just wish it could be Christmas all the time. Everybody seems to be so friendly around Christmas time, wanting to help one another and everything. And everybody down the street say, how are you, brother? Other times of the year, they don't even speak to you. It'd be good if it stayed Christmas, wouldn't it? Just Christmas all the time. And the fact of all the error, everything there is about, there's something about it that the world tries to make it an Xmas, you know. But God's still got a Christmas in it somewhere, hasn't he? He sure has. He's got something about it, just as the very names and the thoughts of the birth of the Lord Jesus. Oh, the world's put Santa Claus in his place, sure, but not to the Christian. It's still a Christmas. So the Christian, the real true Christian, keeps the true meaning of Christmas. And, you know, the prophet said, as long as we have children, we'll have Christmas. And giving of gifts and so on and that. And sure, the little kids look forward to those things, you know. But as long as they know it's coming from mom and daddy and or grandpa and grandma or whatever, you know, a friend, that it's, they don't think that it's some man sliding down a chimney and putting presents under a tree in the middle of the night, you know. And then I found another thing here in questions and answers. Brother Branham was setting up on the platform with Brother Neville, or he was speaking. Brother Neville's up on the platform. He said, I want to thank each one of you for the remembrance of Christmas, your cards. Brother and Sister Spencer, I got yours, and all the different ones here that sent me your cards around. I do appreciate them and the gifts and things you sent. We certainly do appreciate it. Another place Brother Branham was speaking, and he was thanking the people for buying him and Brother Neville a brand new suit for Christmas. And he said, I wish I could buy gifts for all of you. He said, but that's just not possible for me as a minister to do that. He said, but I wish I could. Now here was Brother Branham speaking Jehovah of Miracles. He preached it on November the 26th, 1959. And that's at the beginning before he really started preaching. He was just speaking. And he says, I know this meeting is pushing Christmas time. We're going to take another meeting up in Washington, but we see it's pushing a little. Let me back up. We were going to take another meeting up in Washington, but we see it's pushing a little toward Christmas. And these has to be supported. And you know that because I don't have the finances to support them myself. I don't ask one penny for myself just to pay the expenses so we won't owe nothing. That's all. But the meeting has to be supported. Then the people along this time, you got families and children. And many of them asked me, as soon as you leave here, will you come to our church? You got a little time now. I'm going back to the tabernacle for a little revival with them, just for them on teaching how to receive the Holy Spirit and so forth. And see, we're a Baptist background there, so we want to get in the real thing with them. So the reason I don't, because if I go into another meeting, mothers and daddies will take from their pocket to support the meeting. And maybe the little baby, little fellas would miss something at Christmas. And that'd make me feel awful bad. So I'll come back after Christmas. And we'll start there. But before Christmas, I'll leave everything just as it is. So here's Brother Branham taking into account that if he goes ahead and has these meetings between November the 26th and December the 25th, if he goes on and has more meetings, he said the people are going to take out of their pockets money to support the meetings. And he says if they do that, then it might be taking money away from them getting the kids something. So he says, I'm not going to have any more meetings from here until after Christmas. And he said, so that the parents can get gifts for their children. You know, children, they don't understand all these things, you know, what you see around. And I've told this story, no doubt, before, but now this little girl I'm going to mention, she's now about 22, 23, I don't know, something like that, years old by now. But when she was just a little girl, it was up in Ohio, when she was just a little girl, maybe about 3 years old, maybe something like that, I'd say, where she could talk pretty good. And we were, after church, we were standing in a Bob Evans restaurant waiting to be seated. And they had a Christmas tree up there with all his decorations and things on it. And her dad, you know, was trying to teach her the right things about Christmas and so on, you know. But he told her, he said, tell the people what this is. And he said to her, and she said, that's pagan worship. Boy, he was just so proud that she had, you know, spouted off with that. Then she tugged on his jacket and she said, Daddy, I just love pagan worship. You know, so they don't know no different. They see those lights and the different things, you know, and it attracts their eyes. And I've heard stories of people from the church, they won't put no decorations up themselves, but they'll get out and drive around town to see everybody else's, you know. I guess somehow it makes them not quite so bad because they didn't do it themselves. But they drive around, I mean, with the intent of seeing everybody else's decorations. If you're going to, you know, they're going to enjoy them anyway, I guess, you know. And so I remember when I was just a young boy myself, And my dad was preaching, and he was preaching against some of these things of Christmas, you know, Santa Claus and different things like that. And as he began preaching, and there were some people there that were just still fairly new to the Lord, you know. And they had a little boy. And as it went on, you know, and I guess maybe he must have saw Santa Claus going out the window, and he saw these other different things from Christmas going out the window. And so while my dad was preaching, he tugged on his daddy's pants, and he said, "Daddy, whatever you do, do not let him talk you out of them presents." So, you know, little kids, they have, they think of these different things around this time of the year, and I think it's good for families to get together and have some family time together. And, you know, they give you off work, you know, a day or two around that time, this time of the year, and then New Year's and that. And so I think it's a good idea to take that time you got that you get off from work and spend it with family, you know. The world, what they do is they pawn their kids off on somebody else and go out and have their parties. And, you know, they pawn their kids off so that they can stay out drinking all night. And get somebody to babysit their kids while they run around drinking. Brother Branham talked about that in the message and said, you know, what kind of a mother would do that? You know, would take and instead of being home with their kids, be out partying and drinking. And he spoke against those things. And if you really think about it, it's easy to see, you know. And we got children, why, there's a bigger responsibility of us now. And so, there, you know, you need to think about them little lives. And look, I didn't always do good, and till the Lord really got a hold of my life. And, you know, then it got my attention of what is my kids going to grow up to be. And, you know, the kids see mom and dad doing this or however they do, then that becomes the norm to them. This is what you do. And so if they get pawned off, so mom and dad go out partying, that's what they're going to do when they have children. If they're getting dumped off on somebody all throughout the year while mom runs around here and there and that and the other, you know, partying and everything else, then when they have a child, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to be looking for someone to dump their child off so that they can run around like that, because that's what became the norm to them. Now, I'm not just making these things up. I've got actual facts, actual people that I know that this has been that way. And, you know, but Christmas time, we should think about that. Why are we celebrating this time of the year? And why the world observes it at this time of the year? Of course, we know that how it came about to be December the 25th was because of the Roman god, the sun god. They celebrated his birthday. And then when Romanism and Christians got kind of swaddled in together and became Roman Catholic, well, they changed it from the sun god's birthday to the son of God's birthday. And so, you know, we've got these different things that have been passed down through history. And sometimes it's good to go back and see where in the world this stuff even come from. And so that, you know, you can keep the real true meaning about it all. And like I said, get together with your families and have some time together. And it's always... I know for us, we have, for my family, we have a pretty traditional Thanksgiving, you know, meal. And it's turkey and mashed potatoes, green beans and stuff like that, you know, just real traditional. And we kind of keep it just real simple. But for Christmas, we do everybody's favorite. So if somebody in the family's got a favorite thing, we do. It doesn't matter if it goes with the other thing or not. If it's somebody's favorite, well, it gets made. And so we might have a bunch of stuff that don't look like it goes together, but this was that one's favorite, and this was that one's favorite, and this was that one's favorite, you know, and then we always have a big ham. And we just kind of celebrate that way, you know, and have time together. And I look forward to this time of the year for those things. Last year, I was so thankful because my mom come down and spent Christmas with us. And that was the first Christmas that I'd been with my mom since we had moved down here. And so it had been quite a few years, 20 years better. And so it was nice, you know. And so I guess she's going to alternate the holidays now between me and my brother, you know. It makes it kind of easy since there's only two of us. And she had Thanksgiving with us this year, so she's going to have Christmas with Samuel. And it just wouldn't do. She needs to be around family, you know, especially when she's missing a spouse, you know. These time of the year, you think about that. And I was kind of reminiscing in my mind the other day about Christmas. And I got to thinking about Jonathan and Carisha and when they used to get to come in for Christmas and I really got to missing them. And so I texted them because I didn't know their work schedules, how it would be. So I didn't try to call them. I figured we'd make arrangements to call them, talk to them sometime during this coming week. But I texted them, told them, I really miss y'all, you know, especially this time of the year, the holidays and that, and miss them coming around and miss the grandchildren, you know. But if you live here and you got family here, well, then you ought to be able to spend time together. You ought to be able to visit your family during this time of the year. It just amazes me, families that just can't seem to have time together. They can't get together without it causing some kind of a ruckus or a fuss, and that's a shame. That's a shame. Especially, even more so, when we're all claiming to be believers, you know. So you ought to think on those things, amen. So let's teach our children the true meaning of Christmas and keep that, and not let Satan get us so wrapped up in all these other things, you know, and people will be spending money they don't even have and then having to pay for it all the next coming year, you know. But keep the true meaning. It's not about all that stuff, but it's about the birth of Christ. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you now. We're at the close of this service. We're asking, dear God, for you to bless the people today. Bless their fellowship, dear God, that they may have with one another, Father. And I pray, dear God, that you, Lord, for those that weren't able to be here, I think about Brother Jim up in the hospital, dear God, and was just asking, dear God, that you'll help him, dear God, where he can start to eat again. And Lord, so that he can get released from the hospital. And pray, dear God, that you will watch over and bless his family, Lord. This is a hard thing coming through this time of the year. I pray, dear God, that you'll be with them, dear God. I pray now, Father, that you go with each one today, Lord, and watch over them and keep them safe. As we said, Lord, there's so many drunk drivers that's going to be out there on the roads over these holidays, dear God. I pray that you'll protect your children here, dear God, and keep them safe. when they're on the roads traveling. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name.